My plan is to talk about understanding the Ten Commandments through the lens of the passive and the active obedience of Christ.
Pastor Hans Feeney talking about his presentation at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
So one of the things I like to do when I teach my confirmation classes, both my youth confirmation and adult confirmation class, is to talk a lot about how it is that Christ fulfills all of these commandments for us and understanding what it means to keep these commandments through the lens of the way that Christ kept them for us from both the perspective of his active obedience, so his active keeping of the law, as well as his passive obedience, which is obeying the will of his Father and going to the cross.
You can watch Pastor Hans Feeney's teaching, Making the Case for the Obedience of Christ, at this year's Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Registration includes the ability to watch live and on demand. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Racism is a problem. There's no doubt about that. There are a lot of people who have solutions. There are people in academia who have solutions, and there are people in the church who have solutions for racism. None of them are a permanent solution. We know that racism is a sin. Sin is with us, and it'll always be with us until Christ returns. Now, what if you heard someone say that they could decree the end of racism in the name of God? And what if they were holding in their hand a wizard's staff and were dressed somewhat like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings? Sounds, well, unbelievable. Sounds like something someone would make up. Sadly, it isn't. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, we're going to talk about the New Apostolic Reformation's solution to racism. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
You need to paint a picture for us of what we're going to be listening to here. And because we're dealing with a number of people on stage, all gathered around a wizard's staff.
Yep.
You kind of have to give us the cast of characters.
Okay, so since this is radio and not YouTube, it's important to note that what we're going to be listening to is the very end of an event that was put on by Bethel. The name of the event was Transformation Now. And they had a similar virtual event that they did at the beginning of the lockdowns for COVID-19. And in that Transformation Now event, they decreed the end of the coronavirus pandemic. It didn't seem to work out. But here on June 12th of this year, the Transformation Now event, this included Apostle Cheyenne, Apostle Bill Johnson, Apostle Ed Silvoso, as well as a few other people. And the primary person we're going to be hearing is Pastor in Marlene Barrett. At least that's, she claims to be a pastor, so she's not an apostle. And what we're going to be listening to is them, in their own theology, explaining what a potential solution to the racism issue that we are all facing here in the United States, and whom they blame this on, and what it is that they are going to do to put an end to this. And Marlene Barrett has in her hand, and she's going to be using a wizard staff, and everybody there is going to be joining hands with their hands on this wizard staff, and they're going to be directed because Marlene had a vision from God that also involved Gandalf as the solution to the racism problem, at least in the church. So that's the setup, as crazy as it sounds. And the first soundbite, she's going to tell us who she's going to be coming against and with what for the purpose of ending racism.
Oh, my friends, this is how a revolution begins. But we have to do a prophetic act before we move on. So I'll yield to...
You know, we're going to do some binding and loosening. And one of the things that I've learned in the last maybe around 10 years, that apostles have authority to make decrees and declaration. And and something that God gives, and I've seen it work in so many practical ways. Well, Pastor Marlene got a prophetic vision right before this event, and she saw us doing a prophetic act that was going to be very, very historic. So thank you for hanging in there and staying with us, but I believe that this is a very crucial time. So why don't you share your vision, then we'll do the apostolic decree.
Amen.
Okay, so I am an artist. I told you this. One of the movies that has really touched my heart is Lord of the Rings. Now, everybody understands, if you know Lord of the Rings, everybody understands what's in my hand. Everybody understands what's in my hand. And during this process, I've been asking God, show me the act. Show me the act. Let me understand what you were saying. And when Pastor Bill started speaking, I saw the Father's heart just opening his arms. Opening his arms. And then when Papa Che came forward, I saw the Christ and the sacrifice he did with the Korean community and with the Black community during the LA riots. And then when I heard Ed, Pastor Ed speak, I heard what happened with the ecclesia. The ecclesia being the tool of the Holy Spirit, active in the community. And then I heard Pastor Terry coming and speaking for the African American community. And I heard myself speak why he asked me to do that. Normally, I would only be scriptures. But the Lord told me I needed to repent for the participation I had with the racist spirit in America.
Okay, Chris, we heard about something called a prophetic act, and you need to set some context for us here, because this is the New Apostolic Reformation movement. They, when they say prophetic act, they're not playing fast and loose with the language there. They really believe that they are prophets and apostles, don't they?
Yes, they for real do. In fact, Cheyenne, you'll note that he said that God had given Marlene a prophetic vision, and that as a result of that, they were going to be doing an apostolic decree. And he claimed that apostles have authority to do these apostolic declarations. And so what these apostolic declarations are, a prophetic act by which they take authority over the demonic. And so you'll note at the end of our soundbite that Marlene talked about her need that she said that God gave her for her to repent of her participation in the spirit of racism. And so the spirit of racism is a demonic spirit in the NAR pantheon of spirits. And so this prophetic act that they are going to be engaging in via this apostolic decree will be for the purpose of tearing down the stronghold or the demonic entity known as the spirit of racism. That's what they're doing in the section that we're listening to.
So when she says, I saw a vision, and the others say she had a prophetic vision, she's claiming to have received a direct new revelation from God himself.
Correct. And this new revelation has as much authority behind it as like when Isaiah had a vision of God and God told him to do something. So you'll note that in their way of thinking, this vision is every bit as inspired and authoritative as anything that any words that were given in the Old Testament, except for they don't write them down because this supposedly is a prophetic vision for this time, this place, this, as they would say, Kairos season. And so, you know, this is they would not say that this is then needs to be added to the Bible, but the authority behind it is as authoritative as a biblical text.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest on this Thursday, the 2nd of July. It's This Week in Pop Christianity Today, the New Apostolic Reformation's solution to racism. We'll hear more of that solution next.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, President of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. I'm Todd Wilkin. So, Chris, what's next? We've already had a claim of a vision. We've already had a preview that there's going to be an apostolic or a prophetic act performed of, I think he said, of a historic nature. What's up next? Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to be listening to next is some of the details as it relates to the vision. And I'll say this is that Marlene jumps the gun just a little bit, but we're going to hear more about Gandalf and things of this nature and what this prophetic act, she's setting the table for what this prophetic apostolic decree is going to be. And remember, we're coming against the demon, the spirit of racism.
So I'm going to ask us right now to all grab a hold of this in our hand, every single one of us. But from the Father right here, we are going to lift the staff and we will command the spirit not only to leave, but he shall not pass. Now, if you heard what Apostle Savosa said, he said that you need to oil your door. So I encourage you, if you haven't done this in the proper order, you must put oil in your door and then go in front and repeat this act with us, that the spirit of racism may leave your house, whether you participated as a victim or as someone who did it. We all did it. For our country to be where it is right now, we all did it. But we will say together, no more, no more, no more. So on the count of three. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to sit.
Well, two things. I think it's important for you to share the vision of Gandalf, yes, putting the stake down, because that.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So for those of you who didn't see the movie, so this happens in the Fellowship of the Ring. In the Fellowship of the Ring, at some point, Gandalf stands up and he is in the middle of this tomb type of place. And the demon that's been holding court there has killed everyone, pretty much, that used to live there. It was the dwarves. He's killed them all. And when the demon comes after Gandalf, even the demons flee. The demons flee. They start climbing the walls. And out of nowhere, Gandalf realizes the only thing that will stop this demon is if he stands there and confronts it, toe to toe, eye to eye, and tells him, this is the line. And the demon is in full authority, in full manifestation of its presence. It's just roaring in front of Gandalf. And Gandalf stands in his authority in front of the demon.
All right, Chris. I mean, tremendous synopsis of probably one of the fall of Gandalf, one of the key elements in that tremendous story by J.R.R. Tolkien. But why?
Okay, so again, we are going up against the demon, the spirit of racism. Now, I would remind everybody that when you read Galatians 5, it talks about the works of the flesh. Let me read from Galatians 5:19. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and the list goes on. And you'll note that things listed there definitely would demonstrate that the sin of racism is a sin of the flesh. Now, apparently, there in the NAR, they are bravely going up against a demonic entity called the spirit of racism. And if you remember in the soundbite we just heard, she talked about the fact that everybody's guilty of either perpetrating racism or being a victim of it. Everybody's participated in one level or another. But what she didn't do was call people to repent of their sins, to repent of their enmity, of their strife, of their rivalries, of their dissensions, of their divisions. These are the sins of the flesh that we're dealing with here. So the solution to racism is not repentance and then forgiveness and reconciliation with God, and then forgiveness and reconciliation with others. Instead, the solution is to take a stick and reenact the scene of the fall of Gandalf, where he goes toe-to-toe with a Balrog. And I would note that I'm pretty sure this has nothing to do with Christianity, nor is what we're hearing as the solution anything even remotely approaching repentance, the forgiveness of sins, because you'll note ultimately the solution to racism is that the Son of God takes on human flesh and bleeds and dies for it. That's the solution that God has given us. And instead, the NAR is making apostolic decrees against what I would even argue are probably fictitious demons at this point.
I think it's been agreed by people who have taken a serious look at Tolkien's work that one of the things in the background, barely in the background of this scene, is the self-sacrifice,
yes,
of Gandalf. Gandalf literally, we don't know if he dies, that's never clear, and he does come back later, but he gives his life so that his colleagues may live. Why is she missing that point here?
It's not on her radar. And the thing is that it's a matter of emphasis. In the NAR, the emphasis is on signs and wonders and battling demons and apostolic decrees and things like this. And what ends up happening, where all the focus is on that, they give lip service to the gospel, but they don't really end up hearing it in any substantive ways, to the point where the voice of the gospel becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, and finally disappears. disappears altogether. And you think of the Apostle Paul, he talks about that in the last days, that people would not endure sound doctrine, but they would gather to themselves teachers who would tell them what their itching ears want to hear, and that they would wander away from the truth and wander off into myths. What we're looking at here is a movement who has abandoned the truth of Scripture in Christ and now are fully embracing total myths to the point where they're practically canonizing one of the scenes from the Lord of the Rings, while all the while not even seeing how Gandalf's death here, and that's a good way of putting it, we're not sure, is in a way type and shadow archetype. It's picking up on the idea of sacrifice so that others can live. And there's even a resurrection theme, because Gandalf, when he comes back, he dies Gandalf the Grey, and he rises Gandalf the White. I mean, there's even, you know, overt overtones that point to the death and resurrection of Christ in that sacrifice, and it's just not on their radar at all. All they see is Gandalf decreeing and declaring and using power and authority over the demonic, and they think that's what they need. But what they need is the sacrifice of Christ. That's what they need.
We'll hear some more from the New Apostolic Reformation's alleged solution to racism and their apostolic decree right after the break. Pastor Chris Rosebrew is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. You can watch and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Matt Walsh, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. All paid registrants will have the ability to watch the conference live and on demand. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our romp through Romans. Gifts of grace, genuine love, overcoming evil with good, the Christian and the governing authorities, and love is the fulfillment of the law. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our life together as the church after COVID-19 will bring new challenges. For example, we might be tempted to skip the regular gathering of God's people because we're more comfortable streaming it on Facebook instead. May it not be. Join the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood as he explores this theme in his article for the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness titled, Gathering Again, It Will Not Be the Same. Subscribe at cph.org/witness, The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about the New Apostolic Reformation solution to racism. Pastor Chris Rosebrew of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. So what should we be listening for when they finally get around to issuing their apostolic decree against the demon of racism?
I would just look for the parallels between what Gandalf did. And remember, Gandalf was a wizard. That's what he used witchcraft, wizardry, for the purpose of defeating the Balrog. And one has to ask the question, how is this not that? I think let's play the bit.
And says it. The first time he hits it and it doesn't happen. The second time Gandalf does it again and still the demon is not obeying. And at the third time, Gandalf puts both of his hands on the staff. Yes, yes. And he said, I said. And he hits it. And that authority is what we are talking about that can only be released by an apostolic decree. The authority must be given. And that's why I revealed what we heard tonight. So, is that clear? Thank
you. Okay. So, please stand up with us. So if you can stand, because you're standing in authority, because you're all kings and priests. And all of us, we're an apostolic people. So, as an apostolic team, with the authority that God's given to us, we decree and declare that racism will end, it's over in the ecclesia from this night forward in Jesus' mighty name. Let's lift it up and bang it. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise offer.
Repeat with us. Thou shalt not pass. No more.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm sorry, we did it twice. We need one more.
Right.
One more. We need you to agree with us. Okay. On the count of three. On three. Shout with us. One, two, three. Thou shalt not pass. In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, Chris. Just do your best. Explain what the heck that was.
That was an apostolic decree, man. That was, they were acting prophetically. This was a moment in history. I mean, we will be able to look back on this in years to come and say, you remember when they banged that stick three times on the ground and said, thou shalt not pass to the spirit of racism? That was the turning point, and now racism is no more as a result of this apostolic. That's what they really think is going on there. And what they successfully accomplished, rather than defeating the spirit of racism, what they successfully accomplished was pretty much just making fools of themselves. The reality is that everything they did, there was no power, there was no authority, there was no repentance. This was not from God. This is just the result of overactive imaginations who are obsessed with signs and wonders and somehow think that they could steal the authority of Christ and act with his authority without his approval. And this is, it's just Looney Tunes sad at the end of the day, because racism is a real problem. It's a real sin. And it really wasn't addressed, and they really didn't solve the problem that night. And it's just tragic to think that they think this is Christianity or has anything to do with God, the Son, the Father, or the Holy Spirit.
Let's take some of this apart, though. What's the danger of, as is common in the New Apostolic Reformation, instead of talking about, say, racism as a sin that we commit that actually has commandments attached to it that we violate, what's the danger of saying it's a spirit of racism or a spirit of fill in the blank?
Well, it reminds me of Flip Wilson, and now I'm starting to show my age, talking about how the devil made him do it. See, the thing is that when we don't take responsibility, we're not repenting. When we don't take responsibility for our sin, then we're basically just kicking the can down the road. And to sit here and say, well, they took care of it. Racism is now gone. They bound that spirit. I mean, the three major apostles, man, they took their authority and man, they really did something. They banged that stick. But here's the thing, is that if you believe this is the case, that as racism continues to rear its ugly head, And you know, racial riots and problems continue to persist, what's going to end up happening is you're going to basically say, well, Christianity can't be true because those three apostles decreed and declared it to be over, but it clearly isn't. And I would note that since the 12th of June, which is more than 2 weeks ago, racial discord has continued in the United States. And so it's patently obvious that this did not solve the problem. And so believing that this is the solution when it's not basically creates the foundation by which you can tear apart the entire fabric of somebody's faith and for them to basically say Christianity is just bogus. It's not real. It's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. And the reality is that if people believe that this is Christianity, they've never been taught Christianity, but sadly they think they have. So what we're talking about is the ability, you know, to basically undermine the entire credibility of Christ and the church through these wingnuts who are acting in a way that is obviously powerless. I mean, think back to during the the height of the COVID-19 when you had Ken Copeland calling up the south wind to blow and burn up COVID-19. How did that work out? It didn't work out at all. I mean, and here, you know, we're in the thick of it as far as hot days in the summer. And rather than COVID-19 being gone in the hot days, it's spiking again. And so what's at stake here is the entire credibility of Christianity and people's faith, which then, you know, without the ability to preach the gospel and to call people to repent of their sins, the ultimate end of people as a result of this is hell. So everything's at stake through the, you know, for those impacted in believing that what they're seeing here is somehow Christian. And I would note, nowhere in my Bible does it say anything about apostolic decreeing. You know, I have yet to see that in the scriptures, but you know, it's a full blown doctrine with rites that look like witchcraft in the NAR.
Then, when Christians see something like this and they say, well, maybe there's a solution there. Maybe there's a sign. Maybe the Holy Spirit really is speaking to these people. What really is happening? It just strikes me, Chris, that they have exchanged the foolishness of God, that is the gospel, yeah, with just foolish, plain old foolishness.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And the reality is that, you know, Scripture warns that, you know, pastors, that they are too rebuke those who contradict sound doctrine and that they are to silence them. And it talks about those who've wandered off into myths or who are teaching and believing Jewish myths and other things like this. And what I found is that people within the church have no stomach for the actual commands of Titus chapter 1 that says that people like this are to be silenced and that pastors are to speak out against them, to rebuke them sharply so that people would be sound in the faith. Instead, those who speak out and say, this is not Christianity, this is not biblical, this is not any of this, oftentimes they are shouted down and labeled as divisive, as people who are dividing the body of Christ, and the people who are warning are the ones who are warned against. And it's such a strange day we live in, but that's the reality of the situation.
And finally here, Chris, with about 30 seconds, the sad part is that the NAR isn't going anyplace anytime soon, is it?
No, it's in fact, it's growing by leaps and bounds, which to me is absolutely frightening. So a decade ago, stuff like this would have been considered part of the lunatic fringe. And now this is the main center stream of what is known as the charismatic movement. This is not the fringe anymore. This is the front and center mainstream of the charismatic movement. And it's growing exponentially here in the United States and around the world. And that's the tragic part about it.
Pastor Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Learn more about Fighting for the Faith at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Lutherans, political resistance, and a statement from the city of Magdeburg made in 1550 called the Magdeburg Confession. That city was besieged by Roman Catholic forces for more than a year. They, almost alone, resisted and eventually produced this confession on political resistance. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. book of the month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.